That makes you want to preach, amen. Galatians chapter number 6 tonight. Galatians chapter 6, and we'll stand with the reading of God's word, for God's word tonight is certainly worthy of our respect. And I'm glad you're here tonight. This is the Lord's Supper night, and we want to honor the Lord and with our life, and certainly we want to remember what the Lord has done for us. Galatians chapter number 6. We're reading the first five verses as we look right into the scriptures. The Bible said, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden." Thank you, and you may be seated. One of the things for me is as a young man going into the ministry, I learned very quickly, and I don't really even think you have to be in the ministry to learn this. In fact, it just takes an awareness of what's going on around you, is that people have burdens. People have burdens. It's a fact of life. You can't avoid it. You can't get around it. People and life, just like air and just like the necessity of water, we have burdens. And burdens come in so many different ways. And I want to tell you tonight that if you think about the burdens that you have and the burdens that other people have, you find that God has a formula in which we deal with those burdens. Nowhere do I find in the scriptures, I've never been able to find it, where there will ever be a time in your life, this side of heaven, where you will not have any burdens. Now, when I was a teenager, I used to think that when I become an adult, I wouldn't have any burdens. Because I always thought the burdens were the rules. And I thought, man, when I become an adult, I don't have burdens anymore. Then when I got married and started a family, we started having kids, I realized that we still have burdens. And so, you know, I was thinking, well, when my kids become adults, I won't have burdens anymore. Guess what? That's not true. And then I thought, well, you know, maybe when I'm retired, I won't have any burdens. And so I'm not necessarily going to retire, but I always think, you know, I can choose to retire if I want or whatever the case is, until I met retired people who told me they had burdens too. In fact, the truth of the matter is everybody has burdens. All of us do. You come into this world pre-packaged, pre-programmed with the personality God's given to you, but life brings you burdens. You're going to deal with them. If you think that somewhere along the way you're going to go out into some beach somewhere and hide out, and you know, maybe when you get there that you'll have no burdens anymore, and there'll be no more worries and no more difficulties and no more pain, you're wrong, because the IRS will find you. I mean, they will find you. Somebody will find you. You can't eliminate it. It's a part of what life brings. And this formula in this passage about being a burden bearer is what God wants us to understand about life. And not only about life, but about those around you as well. And so I want to help us tonight since we are growing together as a church, and that's what our theme is for the year, and where we're going as a church family, and what God wants us to do, and as we are maturing in the faith and learning what God says in His Word, we're going to learn a little tonight about burdens. Because it's interesting, as you notice here, and I still want to echo this, God does not tell us that He's going to take the burdens away. I know myself personally, I've wished there was a way in which I could kind of dump them off somewhere. In fact, to the place where I don't ever want to have them again. But burden bearing is the way of life. And young people, I hate to tell you this, but your parents are not your burdens. And your studies are not your burdens. Although they may appear to be burdensome at times, that's not what burdens are. Life has burdens. Quite frankly, I think getting up in the morning is a burden. Amen. I mean, I kind of like the idea that when you have a morning when you can kind of get up when you want to. That's nice. But that's not the fact of life. So I want to help you tonight to learn about burden bearing. Because these principles, if we're going to grow together as a church, then these principles of burden bearing is that for me as an individual, that I need to understand not only am I going to bear burdens, but I am also responsible to bear the burdens of others. And whether we like it or not, you know, there's some people that, you know, are so selfish to say, well, I got my own burdens, I can't handle anybody else's. Well, those kind of people are not maturing in their Christian walk. Pure and simple. Because God did not tell us that you just carry your own. God told us that we are also to bear one another's burdens. And so I want to help you to understand this. What is God saying about burden bearing? Well, first of all, number one, it is revealed in a right exhortation. What is God exhorting us to do? The word exhort means to encourage, as to implore, as the idea of that we're to, you know, respond to what God says. And what does God mean by that? Well, there's a requirement, because if you notice in verse number 1, the requirement is for the brethren. Now, let me ask you this tonight. Some of you, you're very intelligent believers, what does the word brethren, who does they refer to? Who are the brethren? The saved. In other words, what God is saying is that for us, the requirement of being a burden bearer is that we understand that we are to help other believers. That's what God intends it to be. That when others are going through a burden or others are going through hardship or others are going through things in their life, that one of the requirements as a Christian, as a believer, is that I am to help other believers. We are commanded by God to do that. Now, someone had said to me, well, maybe that's just a really good suggestion that God has. But I want to remind you that if you notice in verse number 2, that is not a suggestion. What does God say? Bear ye one another's burden. In other words, what God is saying is that you need to be continually bearing other people's burdens as well as your own. Now, in this case, in verse 1, there is a projected burden that a person can have. The projected image is that of a brethren who's been overtaken in a fault or a sin. This is a public sin. This is one that's known by all out in public in the sphere of that person. And God is telling me that my responsibility to help a brother who has fallen into sin is that I'm to help him bear his burden. Because I want to tell you this, that sin is burdensome. It is a burden. And so it would be my responsibility to somehow or another help my brother who is dealing with sin. Now, here's how the typical Christian responds, and this is the unbiblical approach. I'm going to write him up in a newspaper and let everybody know about how bad a person he is. Or I'm going to let everybody know about it. And you know what? Christians oftentimes are really good at gossiping in a very spiritual way through prayer requests. Please pray for so-and-so. He ran off with another man's wife, all right? Wrong-o. That is not how we help people. We hurt people that way. You know where we learned that from? Not from the Bible. We learned that from People Magazine and Globe and all the other things. We learned that from the world and how the world handles things. But believers handle things totally different. Amen and amen. And the idea then is if a person has sinned, whether you know, whatever's happened in his life, and I do understand that does not mean we tolerate their sin or we put our stamp of approval upon it or like, well, it's just a big boo-boo, it's okay. No, I understand that there's limitations and restrictions once a person has sinned, that he may have hurt his ability to minister as a pastor or something like that, or hold a certain office. We understand that, but that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking at this point about loving someone and helping them when they fall. And God says that's a requirement. That's what God wants us to do. So if I understand it then, as I'm looking here in this passage, I look at verse number 2 and God says I'm to bear one another's burden. And that means that other people need me to bear their burden. You see, this bearing a burden is a nautical term. And I remember I preached this a few back, oh, I think 2 years ago. I preached on, through the book of Galatians, and I preached on this very topic because I talked about it. And I put two ships on the screen, and I didn't put those back up this time because I figured it's fresh in some of your mind. But the it's a nautical term. There's a load line in which a ship can hold so much cargo. And once that ship gets burdened down with all of its cargo, once it hits the load level, then you can't put any more on it. And that's why they would bring a second ship in to carry the rest of the cargo that the first ship could not carry. That's the idea here. And what God is saying is, for you and me, is that we are to help others because Sometimes other people have burdens that are intended to share. And we have to understand that because that's biblical. In fact, you might say it this way, that one of the ministries that all of us have, every one of us have then together, is that not only are we to bear our own burdens, but we are to share the burdens of others. And that's how God has outlined that for us. So we cannot ignore them, but we are to bear them. Now, here's the reason, letter B. The reason is outlined for us in the Scriptures. Since some burdens are intended to share, then this helps us to learn from others about the grace of God. I have found in my own life that when I have seen things happen to people's lives as a pastor, going through it with them, you know, going to the hospital. I've been to the hospital where people are in great pain or suffering, and maybe I've been there where parents have had to pull the cord on their children. I've been there for that. Or perhaps maybe when some event has happened in a family's life, and as I go into that and share that with them, and I watch godly people rely on the grace of God to take them through that, it teaches me something more about God than I would ever learn otherwise. So this allows me to have the opportunity to see the grace of God and to see the work of God in people's lives. But God gives me two specific reasons in this passage why that he commands me that I am to bear one another's burdens. Let me point them out to you. Number one, look at verse 1. He says, it's the word restore. Did you notice the word restore there? The word restore has a medical terminology. So if someone breaks an arm, what is the doctor going to try to do? He's going to put the arm, he wants to put the arm back in place so it can be used again, right? Hello, are you with me tonight? You guys, look, don't sleep during the football game, not during church time, all right? But if you break an arm, the doctor's going to try to put your arm back into place where it can be used again. Because after all, you only have two. If you break one, you got a second one, but you break both, you're really in trouble. And what it means is simply this, that as a believer in Christ, if I'm bearing another person's burden, and I'm helping a person perhaps who's fallen into sin, my goal, my aim is to get them back to the place where God can use them again. Realizing maybe they can't go back as a pastor, but they can be used by God once again. And the whole idea then is that we understand that God says that it's my responsibility that if I can help another believer, that God can bring him back and restore him into a place where God can use him once again. But then there's a second reason. Look at the end of verse number 2, would you please? It's called the law of Christ. Here's the law of Christ. The law of Christ is the idea that I, as a believer, as a Christian, as a child of God, that I do understand the law of Christ. And here's what it is. Galatians 5 and verse 14. God says, for the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as what? Thyself. There it is. That's the law of Christ. In fact, in John 13, verse 34, the Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. So what is he saying? He's saying for me, not only am I to restore them, but I'm fulfilling the law of Christ. And the law of Christ is that I'm to love others as I love myself. So for me, if I'm bearing another burden, so if I have a connection group on Wednesday night and we come in together and we share prayer requests, and they're prayer requests with burdens that are intended to share, and we share those, and we talk about those, and we pray over those, and we, you know, we have compassion. We'll talk about all that in a minute. But as we enter into that burden with those people, we are growing together, and we are fulfilling the law of Christ. Are you with me tonight? If I don't, I'm neglecting the law of Christ. You can't get around it. There's no way that I can say, well, you know, that didn't work like that. No, we miss out on the understanding of it. That's what God says. He wants us to realize that my job is to bear other people's burdens that are intended to be borne. That's my job. So as a pastor, tomorrow morning I will meet with some people that have some heavy burdens, and they're in burdens that are intended to share. And I'll be meeting with some tomorrow morning. But not only should I as a pastor do that, but as a Christian I should do that. And that's what God is helping me to understand. When I say we grow together this year, I'm saying that we bear that burden for others. And I'm bearing it with those who are brethren within the church. So first and foremost, it's revealed in right exhortation. Second of all, write this one down. It's not only revealed in right exhortation, but secondly, it is revealed in right explanation. God explains this to us. God explains what he means. Because I find there are three explanations in the passage that goes along with this. Letter A, there's humility. Notice what he says, brethren, ye, if a man be overtaken of all, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of arrogance. Is that what it says? Meekness. Meekness. Can I remind you of this? There is no sin, and there are no burdens, and there are no problems that other people have that if it were not for the grace of God, you could be there. Now, you may not like that, but it's true. Any of us could be where other people are right now. It's the grace of God. Aren't you thankful for the grace of God? Amen. So as we live our lives together and grow together, we understand that we must grow through burden bearing. And if a person thinks that he'll never be there, they don't understand. 1 Corinthians, in fact, gives a loud warning when it says this, wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. I remember many times I've heard pastors say this, boy, it'll never happen to me. Those are the guys I read about within 6 months to a year that it did happen to. Because when you think it'll never happen to you, it will. It could happen to you. It's the grace of God. So a person who would, if you're going to show love and show compassion, we never come in and, you know, kind of act like with a proud look, well, you wicked sinner, I'm here to help you. We come with a humble attitude. We come with a spirit of humility. We come with a sense of love and the spirit of Christ in helping them. We come with the idea of foot washing, not with the idea of lording over somebody. Humility. And God shows us, and we understand that we, as we bear burdens, we realize that if we're not for God's grace, we could be there. But secondly, notice through compassion. We express our compassion through our prayers. We express our compassion through listening. Do you realize that sometimes listening does more than anything else? As people have burdens, we just listen. Sometimes it's just sitting there and offering no comment, nothing. I mean, how many times have I done that? I've gone to, you know, have people come to see me, or I've gone to homes to help people, and all I do is sit and listen for like 40 minutes, and then I pray with them at the end, and they'll say, you don't know how much you've helped me. I'm like, I didn't say a word. And they say something like this, we know that's what helped us. Nobody else will listen. Sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes someone just wants a listening ear. Sometimes it's listening and praying. You know, we're really good at giving our own advice. Sometimes all we need to do is just take that to God, because honestly, we don't have all the answers. Hello? We don't. Sometimes it's giving someone time. Compassion is something very interesting, because compassion is not pity. Pity is when you could say, man, I really feel sorry for someone. I tease my wife all the time. My wife says, I feel sorry for this person. I said, you feel sorry for the entire world. Well, she said, yeah, I do. It's one thing to have pity, but it's another thing to have compassion, because compassion moves you to do something. Compassion says, yeah, I realize that they're going through a hard time. I realize that they're struggling. But, you know, it's not just out of pity, but I want to do something about it. And God says that's how it works. You might say it this way: we see the need, we take the lead. Whatever that is. But then thirdly, there's another part of this. There's the responsibility. Look, if you would, at verse number 5. This is the one that I want you to target for just a moment here. It says, for every man shall bear his own burden. Now, remember what I said at the beginning of the message. We all have burdens. Every one of us do. Some burdens are intended to share, and some are intended for us to personally bear. And God brought this to my mind this week when I went to the hospital to see Leilani. I have to tell you this story. I went to the hospital to see Leilani. Leilani had had surgery, had emergency surgery, and they had to undo what they did to her leg earlier. And so you pray for her. She had an infection that set in. They had to go back into her leg and do an emergency surgery. And when I got there, she was suffering in pain. Now, you know, I know it sounds really weird, but it's true with me. You know, I can go when someone has died, and I can help the family through things like that. I can help people in situations like that. I mean, I'm very comfortable with that. You know, it's something I do a lot. But when I go and see someone suffering in pain, I want to do something, okay? Give me the needle. Give me the morphine. Give me the button. I'll push the buttons. Whatever it is, I want it fixed. I can't stand to see people suffering. But there's nothing that can be done. And she was in a lot of pain, and I felt for her. And what I wanted to do was I wanted to share that burden with her. I wish there was a way I could have taken at least a part of that pain off of her. I would have carried it for a little bit, but I couldn't. She had her own burden she had to bear. Now, I saw her yesterday, and she's totally different. The pain was gone. And here's my point. All of us have some things we're going to have to bear between us and God. We've got to bear it. It's our responsibility. None of you can bear the responsibility of being a pastor. Only I can. Of Calvary Baptist Church. It's my job. Now, I have men that share in some of the responsibilities, and they do a great job, and I appreciate that. But ultimately, this church, the burden of this ministry is on the senior pastor, me. And I don't mean old either. I just mean senior pastor, okay? And the whole idea then is that all of us have responsibilities to bear our own burdens. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. It does not bother me when someone has... It's easier for me to handle someone bearing their own burden or sharing a burden with somebody else. It just really bothers me when people who have a burden don't take the responsibility for their burden. Are you with me? You might say it this way. I have a hard time with a person who doesn't care for his own family and wants everybody else to do it. Or someone who doesn't take responsibility for maybe his work and wants everybody else to do it. You see, there's just some burdens that God intends you and I to take responsibility with. And what God is saying to us in this passage is that we are to take our own responsibility. And that responsibility is for us spiritually. That we are individually responsible. You know, I wish that, you know, it'd be a really easy job for me if I could pray for everyone to get saved in town. Make my job a whole lot easier, wouldn't it? All of the friends, everybody I know, I could call them off by name, and maybe within a year I could pray through the entire city roster and everybody gets saved. I could pray, but I can't do that. Your spiritual responsibility is yours, it's nobody else's. In other words, you are eventually, your burden of sin in that sense is your responsibility. But let me give you the third point in this outline, lest you get confused. Because remember what I said, God's telling us that there's the right exhortation. Then he explains how this works, but you got to see this. Then we have the right example. Go to Philippians chapter 2 and we'll wrap up there. This is the Lord's Supper tonight. I'll explain what I mean by that in a minute. Philippians chapter 2, would you go with me please and look at that passage? Just a couple of books over. Philippians chapter 2. Since all of us have a burden and burdens, one of the things is very true is the biggest burden that I'm confronted with every day as a human being is I have the sin burden. Now, it is my responsibility to deal with that sin. No one else can handle that. But that is one sin or one burden that is intended to share, and Jesus took that burden from me. What that means is this then, that you and I, while we have this burden of sin, and that this sin is a horrible thing, and it's weighing us down, and it's heavy on our back, and we deal with it, we have a Savior, Jesus Christ, who took care of all of my sin. And in Philippians chapter 2, I want you to notice what the Bible said in verse number 5. It said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even the death of the cross." What this means is simply this: Jesus Christ took all of my burden of sin on his back. He went to the cross in my place. He became the master burden bearer for me. He died in my place. He was crucified. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, and God accepted his payment for my burden of sin. 2 Corinthians 5 says it like this: "For he hath made him," that is Jesus, "who made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteous of God in him." 1 Timothy says it like this: "For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." What that means is simply this, that Jesus Christ, my burden bearer, took all of my sin and died for me on the cross. He's the only way that I can get to heaven. There's no other mediatorial way to get to heaven. There's no other way to be forgiven. It's only through Jesus Christ. And so tonight, when we celebrate the Lord's table, and I use the word celebrate in the sense that we marvel at the grace of God in which we can be forgiven, we're reminded of the fact that Jesus' body was broken for me on the cross. And so the bread represents the broken body. And the juice represents his pure blood that he shed on the cross for me. And it reminds me of all that he did for me. Because what happens according to this passage, excuse me, is he surrendered his heavenly right. Jesus was willing to leave heaven's glory to come to this earth to die for my sins and your sins. He surrendered his heavenly nature. He was God. The Bible said thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was willing to say, you know, I'm going to lay aside my divinity and I'm going to go as humanity to earth. But he did not relinquish all of that. And we don't understand at what part he was God and what part he was man. But he was the God-man, but he came as the God-man. And he surrendered his holy will because he was obedient unto death. Looks tonight, not only are we to bear one another's burdens, but we have the perfect example of the burden bearer, the Lord Jesus Christ. He bore that burden for us. And if I understand this, then God is saying to every one of us tonight that we ought to be burden bearers ourselves because of what Jesus did for me. God wants us to learn this valuable lesson. Let me ask you this, are you a burden bearer? You say, well, I've got a lot of my own burdens. I know you do. All of us do. You know, and sometimes we think we're overloaded with our own burdens, and I know there are times when we probably have more than we think we can handle. But one of the ways that we know how much of a burden we have is when we start helping others, we start realizing how little of a burden we really have. I have so little compared to what others deal with. It helps me as I share with them so that I'm not so selfish that I can't take time to help somebody else. The best example you and I have is Jesus Christ. Tonight, we celebrate the burden bearer himself, the master, the Lord Jesus, gave his life for us so that you and I can be free from the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. Thank God he did that for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray tonight that you would please speak to our hearts. Father, there might be someone here tonight who's never trusted Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to meet the burden bearer, the Lord Jesus. Lord, not only did you do that for me and for others in this room, you did it for everybody, the whole world. Lord, the only way a man can go to heaven is not because he's a Baptist, or because he's a Methodist or whatever, or because he's been baptized. He goes to heaven because he put his faith in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He is our burden bearer. As our heads are bowed tonight, I want you to consider with me very carefully a couple of thoughts before we finish that prayer. The Bible says that as we remember the Lord's table, and that's what we're going to do in just a moment. The Bible says in verse 28 of 1 Corinthians 11, but let every man examine himself. And so let him drink of that bread, or eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. As our heads are bowed, I want to urge you to take just a moment, and we're going to give an invitation here, to examine yourself. And what that means is this: examine yourself whether you're a believer or not. Now, in just a moment, as we pass the elements, if you are not a believer, you're not a Christian, just go ahead and pass the elements. We're not trying to embarrass you. Our heads will be bowed anyway. No one will even know. You just simply just pass it to the person next to you. But God says for us to examine ourselves. Make sure that our lives are right before God. And that means, number one, we check and see if we're saved. And if we've been scripturally baptized, that's another command from the scriptures. Make sure that you've been scripturally baptized. But then thirdly, that you're right with God. that everything between you and God is right, and between others is right, and that as you, the Bible said, as we come to eat of this bread and drink of this cup, as we're examining our lives, we want to make sure our lives are in line with God's will, because that's vitally important. The Bible said, for those who did not, God brought judgment on them. Now, I'm not trying to scare you tonight. I'm just trying to give you the scriptures. But while our heads are bowed, let me urge you to take just a moment to examine your life. And when I finish that prayer, we're going to stand to our feet. The music will play. We're going to invite you to come. If you need to kneel here at the altar, make sure everything's right between you and God, this would be the time to do that. Heavenly Father, Lord, whatever you've spoken to us about, I pray, Lord, we'd make it right. Lord, this is so important. This is so vital in our Christian life. And so I pray that you'll please work in a mighty way, Lord, and show us what it is that we need to take care of in our life. We ask, Lord, that we would be prepared for the Lord's table. We pray and ask these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's